All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Friday, June 6th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
How was your 4th of July, buddy? Good?
It was great.
Yeah? Did you freedom love all over the place, or did you just kind of spread a little liberty? What was the general gestalt of the of your 4th of July, knowing that...
Well, you texted me prior to the 4th, and you told me that I should soak up all the freedom I can handle. But as you know from our younger years, Doug, that's... You can be overserved on the amount of freedom that I can enjoy. Let's put it that way. So, with all the kids around, I elected to hold back on some of the freedom, but we still had a pretty good time. I'll tell you one thing that's crazy is moving from a state like New Jersey, where fireworks are legal
here. They're legal here now, buddy. So just don't get too far ahead of yourself, but keep going with how great
they were legal when I was a kid. Okay, so deep breaths for a second, and coming up here to New Hampshire, where one of our friends showed up, he's from California, but showed up with $300 worth of fireworks to light off. Okay. And it was legitimately as strong as the demonstration downtown, like with the grand finale and everything. But they were right over our house. And I'll tell you, I was bleeding red, white, and blue for a few minutes. It was a good time.
I would still say fireworks continue to be one of the most overrated things that, if for some reason, I can't figure out. I mean, well, they look great and whatever, but I can't figure out why adults just get so into it. Like, I don't know if it's like a visceral thing.
I was really enjoying it, and I wouldn't have invested $300 in them, but it was awesome. It was a great
time. I'm going to die with a $0 investment on fireworks.
I'm there so far.
And they're legal now. Actually, I almost did it. I know this is a baseball podcast, but I almost did it the other day because they're legal in New Jersey now, and we were going to our friend's 5-year-old birthday party, and I was in Target, like, just buying the last second gift because we'd forgotten the party started in 20 minutes.
So you almost got 5-year-old fireworks?
Well, that was going to be my joke, was just to show up with like $20 worth of fireworks in a package and have the kid unwrap that and then like have the real present in the back. So that was going to be the one time. But then I told everyone the joke, so now I really can't pull it off. I told everyone the joke I didn't do, which is like just
classic.
You
need a new group
so
of friends
funny.
Now?
Yeah, but basically I make new friends so I can give their kids fireworks. All right, DFSR.com is the site. DFSR.com/MLB will get you a free 3-day trial to our projection service, our projection system powered by our friends over at Lineup Lab. That's optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings MLB. Coming off a couple strong days, Trey Turner everywhere, a couple home runs last night, which is like one of those things in baseball. You don't get it every day, but every once in a while when you grab the 2-home run day, or double dong, as like people like to say, day. It's always nice. He was in the lineups last night, so you can go check it out. Free for 3 days, and then just $29.95 a month after that. We're going to sweat out some golf lineups because we've been putting them in our chat only. It was kind of we're off the chalk this week, so we'll see how it goes. All that is included in this package, so go check it out. DFSR.com/MLB. Big Friday here in baseball. Yeah, I was writing up the picks last night, and you know, it's funny because I always hate doing this, and it always ends up like kind of being correct, but it seems intellectually dishonest sometimes to just write up the most expensive guys, right? Because they're the most expensive guys for a reason. And then yet with pitching, we just see day after day that these are just the guys to play. Like, so Verlander's the most expensive guy yesterday by a country mile. He's like a 90% start in cash games or something like that. And I don't know. Are we getting to the point where there's just this group of pitchers? There's like 6 of them. Sale, Scherzer, Verlander's. And then it kind of depends when they pitch. That's the scheduling matters as well. But are we getting to the point where, like, you know, if Verlander's at 90% start in cash games, both sites, are we getting to the point where we're just going to see pitching like $15,000 on DraftKings, $15,000 on FanDuel? Because at some point when the ownership and the prices just keep rising, those algorithms keep telling you to just keep going up. And yet it kind of seems correct because these guys are just the safest commodities in baseball. I mean, where do you stand with this? Because we have Sale and DeGrom going today, and I think it's just going to be another case where you see Sale as a crazy chalk play. It's maybe a little different because it's such a big slate. What are your thoughts on pitcher pricing? Have we gotten there?
Yeah, it's stupid. I think it's one of the great failures of DFS as an industry is not figuring out how to appropriately balance pricing between hitters and pitchers. Like, I simply can't understand why 8 years into this grand experiment or whatever we're up to now, it's still correct to just always play the most obvious pitcher. Like, what's interesting about that? What's fun about that? Like, it's not, I just don't get it. And there's plenty of things they could do to... You can make hitters more expensive. You can make baseline hitters more expensive. You can make it so playing Sale meant you had to have mostly guys batting 5th and below in the lineup. Like, there's a trillion ways to solve this problem. And then in the meantime, we're just all going to agree to play the same pitchers. It's boring. I find it uninteresting, and it irritates me, in case you can't tell.
Yeah, so when you look at, we'll get into Sale on the ground here in a second, but I just ran a quick query on just the top Yeah, okay. So when we're looking at coefficient of variation between the different positions, and that coefficient of variation is basically standard deviation divided by average points, which is just a way to balance out guys that are going to score a different amount of points and just tell you how basically consistent they are. So over the last couple of years, I'm scrolling through this list, so I'm going to skip a guy. I'm sure Trout is the highest, but I'm having a little trouble finding him. Top guys, top hitters in terms of average fantasy points. Oh, yeah, here we go, Trout. So Trout is averaging 15 points a game. His coefficient of variation is 0.75. Okay, so that, by the way, is low for a hitter. 0.75 for a hitter is pretty low.
Right.
Sale's coefficient of variation is 0.33. And basically all the pitchers in this group, Sale, Scherzer, Kluber, Severino, got Freddie Peralta's actually in there, amazingly enough. We'll talk about him. DeGrom. These guys are all in the 0.35 to 0.4 range, which means they're like roughly twice as consistent, if that's a simple way to break it down, right? You're getting twice as much consistency or safety. We'll use the word safety to just kind of hammer home the point from these guys, who are the most expensive and they're the safest,
points, and they're the safest things, right? And you normally, again, this is where just some simple balancing could theoretically do this trick, right? Where like you could just change the scoring system too. There's 15 different things you could change that would solve this problem, but I don't know. As of now, this is the world we live in. So what are you supposed to do? I think everyone who's listening to this podcast by now understands that by and large, you just sort by salary and take the good pitcher with the best matchup. It's, again, boring. And sometimes there's interesting decisions when two of those guys happen to be going on the same night. And tonight has a little bit of that, actually. But, yeah, Sale being that cheap on FanDuel means that we're not really going to be faced with too tough a decision.
Yeah, he's a huge favorite. His numbers are obviously just about as good as you can get, 12.7. He's basically been the same pitcher he was last year, a little bit worse. But, I mean, that's just by degrees and nothing really worth nothing worth diving into. K's are down just the slightest and walks are up just a little bit, but the XFIP is actually lower. He's just the best, and he's coming in as a huge favorite here. Is there any reason to fade him in cash? I mean, we do have DeGrom. There's a specific problem with DeGrom, I think, for cash games, but I mean, is there any, at this point, we've kind of taken the long road to say, is there any reason at all to fade Sale in cash games on either site here?
Well, you know, it's funny. I actually got in this discussion with the chatters, I think it was last Saturday or last Friday, you know, it was a week ago, where I was on the system and we had Sale going in all of our lineups, and he was at the New York Yankees. So that was about as bad a matchup as you can have on paper, you know, both with Park and opposing team, huge right-handed bats, you know. And I said, I don't know what to tell you. Like, when the prices are wrong, you're just going to get these guys even in their bad matchups. And of course, Sale goes out there, 11 Ks against one walk, one hit, no earned runs allowed. If we were going to run him out there against the Yankees at similar prices, we're going to play him tonight too. So I don't think there's any reason to fade him. I'm curious to know, what are your issues with DeGrom? Because on paper, for me, he was the second guy I had lined up, especially I think still remains a very good play for big tournaments going against this Rays team. What do you not like about him tonight?
It's not that I like everything about him, and he unfortunately plays for the Mets. That's really the only issue. Like
his money line is bad.
Exactly. Right. Like his team sucks so bad that, and it's borne out in the stupid stat that is wins. He has 5 wins on the season. He has the exact same number. He has basically almost the exact same numbers as Sale this season in terms of strikeouts. His strikeouts are about a 1 strikeout less per inning. So he's a little bit worse there. He actually probably has a slightly better matchup against the Rays, and he's got 3 less wins. And honestly, Sale's probably run a little bad on the wins too, considering that what his numbers are. Sure. So I think it's really just a money line issue. Now, this is the thing that makes DeGrom...
What's your point tonight? DeGrom minus 160, I think it was. Sale right now, minus 320.
Yeah, exactly.
Wide a money line spread as you'll see. Sure.
The easy thing to do here is DeGrom is the clear... I'm not even sure how much of a pivot it is, because I actually think you see their ownership's about the same in GPPs, and I think you see like Sale something like double the ownership in cash games for this very reason.
I think
reason,
it'll be more. I think.
Right. Because if you knock the win off, which you probably should do when trying to factor in some GPP plays, like if you want to just take raw numbers, you want to take the win as a bonus, and you want to just take raw numbers.
I think about it for wins and GPPs is I take the win as an assumption that I'm going to need my pitcher to win the game regardless. So I just take that out of the calculations, give him the full points for the win, and then proceed from there.
That's a better way to put it. Right, exactly. So you're taking it, you need it anyway, and then you're just kind of wishing you can get it. Obviously, you have marginal points that you can get on expectation, but we've talked about this many times that it's a binary thing. So I would put DeGrom right up there, and you just hope that the Mets can get to this bullpen by approach committee that the Rays are going to take again tonight, which has just become a straight up disaster in trying to predict, like project some certain teams. This approach is, I don't even want to get into this podcast because we've already spent time on fireworks and mispricing and stuff. This continues to be a problem where sometimes you know who's going to kind of take over and sometimes you don't and whatever. The Rays are just, yeah. And I think you're going to see more teams. So anyway, I think that's my overall, this is my overall opinion on it. I do think, even when you take the win out, I do think Sale is percentage points better, but it's not that. It's not as many as it would, as it seems when you look at our projections where we have Sale for 49 fantasy points on FanDuel and DeGrom for 43. They are not,
right.
They're not, you know, 15% difference or whatever that ends up being. So I think they're closer, and then Sale just happens to play in the better team. Now, I do not think you want to pair them together on DraftKings where that would cost you $27,000 of salary. It would actually be a little closer if DeGrom's money line was better, but it's not, I think you, because you can knock the win out, I think don't think you need to go there.
Would that be the highest ever? I don't think we've ever suggested putting 27K into pitching on draft.
I think I've gone 26 before, and I'm just saying off the top of my head, and that was a night where it was.
I can remember like a Sale Scherzer thing, but that was before like the prices got out of hand.
I was gonna say that's the exact pairing I was gonna say that I thought it was. Yeah. I do not suggest. Again, it's DeGrom's team. You do have to factor in the win percentage at some point, and so 27 is a pretty tough pull. Where do you want to pivot here? There's some cheaper guys. There's McCullers at 12. There's Freddy Peralta, who I mentioned a minute ago, at 10-2. And then there's some guys that are in the 8,000s range. Anyone kind of jump out to you as safe enough, knowing that you are paying pretty damn close to max pricing, no matter which way you go with that starting pitcher one?
Yeah, I mean, and you can probably tell from my voice that I'm a little bit nervous about this play, but I'm deeply considering going back to Zach Godley again. I mean, I know the walks are an issue, and
that is an understatement, saying the walks are
an issue. The walks are beyond an issue. There's no question about it. And I would feel like Godley is entering into my X him off sort of range here, just with the inconsistency again. If we can get consistency out of the pitcher position, going with a guy like Godley, who's by his very definition inconsistent, is going to be tricky. And I know we ran him out there against San Francisco and he was completely horrendous. All these things are known to me. And he has the Padres today. So the Padres this season, they're just a hair off the team that strikes out the most against right-handed pitching. 25.8% K rate against righties is just utterly terrible. And they have the second lowest WOBA against righties as well. So if there's a team out there that should theoretically be the safest possible matchup, it really should be the Padres. And Zach Godley can turn any situation into an unsafe situation. So right now he's cheap enough to where I'm still considering it. And again, it helps to get a little bit of savings on a night where there are some reasonably expensive bats you might want to play. So right now, you know, our system is pulling it out. The Sale and Godley duo, I can understand why people might want to go in a different direction. Certainly guys like Freddy Peralta seem safer, but I don't know. Right now I can see clicking submit on that lineup and not feeling too terrible about him.
Yeah, I think that's where we're going to land, because ultimately you're getting a situation where when you pay $14,000 for Sale, you are either going to have to go middle tier and below for pitching to roster any reasonable bats. I'm not even saying pair him and DeGrom. I'm saying like Sale and even like McCullers or Peralta is still like more than half, half your salary cap. And because here's the thing, guys like Peralta, I think is pretty good. He's a little too expensive for a guy that really is going to go about five innings. So because his walks are kind of up there.
He's interesting for big tournaments, I think.
I think Mike Foltynewicz is another guy that I wish was just $1,000 cheaper. He's been pretty good, but he's got a walks issue as well. 4 walks per 9 this year, even though his Ks are up near 11. So he's another one I would consider if he was just $1,000 cheaper. He's not. Then you dip down a little bit. You go to maybe look at Gio Gonzalez. He's a little less than Godley. With a good matchup too against Miami, this guy walks the ballpark too. Like he's walking 4.25 guys per 9. All these guys just walk a ton of guys. And this is, at this point, with walks being an issue for, I mean, I would say almost everyone in this tier, and I don't think, I mean, I guess you get down to like Nick Pivetta, and Pivetta's had some of his own blow up issues in the past. I think at that point, I'm just willing to say, if walks and innings pitch seem like they're an issue for basically everybody in this tier, at that point, I will just take the best matchup. And honestly, I mean, maybe we end up kind of pivoting to Pivetta here. Pivetta's 10.76 Ks per nine. His walks are actually down a little bit. He actually might be a little, I wonder if our projection on him is just a little bit low against going up against the Pirates. But actually, I mean, did you look at Pivetta at all? He's around the same price as Godley. He's 200 less against Pittsburgh that does not strike out as much. I mean, do you think that's a reasonable pivot? Like, would you feel a little safer? His overall, his numbers are just better than Godley's, are kind of across the board. And he's also just had some games where he's got completely smoked.
Yeah, well, Pivetta definitely is an interesting option. Actually, it's funny. Our system, I think the strikeout difference between San Diego and Pittsburgh is what drives Godley having a slightly higher projection. And when you see, you know, two guys that are such similar prices, but one guy is just a little bit better, that's the guy that will just show up in lineups, obviously, because nothing else needs to move. You could just plug Godley in or pick Pivetta. I think as you look at both of them, Pivetta inarguably seems like the safer option. The strikeout numbers are there. The walks are way down. The question you have to ask yourself on Pivetta is, at what point is the high BABIP just part of his profile? And at what point do we continue to hope that it's just bad luck, right? Because he never really suffered from these 330-ish BABIPs in the minors. But since he's been in the majors, like clockwork, last year 133 innings, 332 BABIP. This year 87 innings, 330 BABIP. If you're going to be giving up this level of hard contact, line drives, and so forth, you're just not ever going to catch up to your xFIP. xFIP just won't know what to do with that necessarily. It's not really taking into account batted ball data. So I don't know. You know, both of them seem to have their own share of risks. I would guess on balance, Pivetta has the higher floor just because walks just get away from you and mean more early exits. Just look at Pivetta's last game for the example there. And probably the upside might be a little bit less as well, just based on the matchup. But yeah, both guys seem close. I think Pivetta's a reasonable option.
We're looking at 43 starts for Pivetta, where he's averaging just 5 innings a start. That's, we're getting into a sample size that is relevant. I mean, at this point, I mean, we're
all these guys
at over,
have their wrist, dude. Yeah,
yeah, 200 innings for him, which is crazy to look at when you look at his numbers. You're like, because these strikeouts are getting pretty close to elite, and the xFIP isn't bad. And like you said, at some point, you just are just giving up enough hard contact, and it's just not a luck thing. Because,
well, he allows so many base runners that all those numbers, both the walks and Ks per nine, are going to be slightly inflated because he's just facing more batters than the average guy who's, you know, he's basically 10% more balls in play off of him turn into base runners than the average pitcher in the major leagues. And that's going to mean you face more batters. You run deeper counts when you're striking guys out anyway. There's a lot working against him for going deep into games.
I have seen, you know, some pro types target Pivetta in the past and nights where I thought it was like a little funky. Our system has liked him at times. We have trotted him out there. And I think that he is a guy that, like Saber sort of people that dive into these numbers, like still. That's my inkling with a guy like him, is that I've seen some big money guys play him even in spots that didn't seem in my mind to be optimal. I remember twice it happened, once it worked out and once it didn't, right? So like, and that just kind of seems like it's going to be the theme. I do suspect that people that dive into these kind of analytics are still bullish on him, like, 'cause even if you look at like Steamer and Zips and some of these, like, they're still very bullish on the numbers compared to what he has been doing, really mostly with the innings pitched. And I think if you're using those long-term projections, and you're going to probably be a little more favorable on him. We do not really. So, like, and we just do not have him at the same kind of innings pitch. And I think that is probably the big difference, really, just in the overall raw points. All right, we're going to get into some of these hitters. Hit us up with a sponsor, and then we'll talk about some stacks.
Sure. Let's talk about FantasyFactor.com. FantasyFactor is a great place to go and play salary cap game formats like you're used to without all the sharks putting in hundreds of lineups. They actually just ran a really fun 4th of July free roll, and that's kind of how they roll too. They just like to run free rolls. They like to run fun little contests. Their progressive home run derby this year, or rather their progressive home run derby contest this year, has been a lot of fun too. So go check them out. If you play between, say, $5 and $100 a night, great place to get started. FantasyFactor.com.
All right. When I was writing the picks last night, I did try to have more of a theme of cheaper hitters because I, at least for cash, I wanted to make sure it was understood that Sale and, I mean, to a lesser degree, DeGrom were the priorities. And when that's the case, you really just can't, again, like, about being honest, you really can't just start rostering all the Yankees and all the Astros. Although a couple of those teams are, or at least the Astros, they do have a couple guys coming on the cheaper side. Is there a team that strikes you as sort of cheap across the board? I have a couple that was doing those, you know, sort of apologetically writing them up because I think that there are reasons to play them even though they're cheap. But any team that stands out to you as coming cheap, or do you think that I mean, do you think for GPPs you want to just maybe roll one of these cheaper pitchers and just kind of stack up on some more expensive bats? Because you can kind of go either direction today.
Yeah, so for cash, I think it makes sense to pay up at pitching and then kind of mix and match a little bit, the cheaper guys. Right now, the way the salaries tend to work out is that you can play Sale, you know, cheap mix and match guys, and then do like a little national stack against Dan Straley. Yep. I actually think that's pretty solid to me. I mean, especially again on FanDuel, Bryce Harper right now, just completely inappropriately priced at 4,300. He's just much better than that. I don't know how else to get into it. The guy's just having the most absurd bad luck of his career. I think you mentioned before we got started today that he actually has the best hard contact rate of his career. Yes. And the worst BABIP. You're just never going to see that. The guy's 25 years old. He's not washed up. So I love buying Harper. I suspect he'll be super, super highly owned. I think you can mix and match, basically.
You know what's funny about that? So I'm going to pause on that one. This is funny about him because this guy, the star players tend to drive the most narratives, right? Like, right. There's no narrative about, I can't even think of a name. Like, there's no narrative about Kyle Seager.
Right? Yeah, nobody's sweating, right? Yeah.
Like, Kyle Seager just, like, is Kyle Seager. Like, the guy just hits fifth every single night for the Mariners, just kind of does what he does. It's not all that much. And, like, they just never change their lineup. And that guy just is who he is, and no one's ever like, oh, Kyle Seager. But like Harper is a guy, because it drives narrative, I wonder how much this does influence people because, well, I agree with you. He is way too cheap. Like, he's 4,300 on FanDuel, and I think the way some of these salaries work out, I think you can easily, and we'll get into some of these other guys that I think you can mix and match, but I think you can easily fit him. But the other thing, too, so you have the narrative piece, which I don't really buy into at all. But the other thing that you have driving some of these Nationals prices down is these guys have switched their lineup around just so much over the course of the season. And when that happens, you are going to get less plate appearances for certain guys. Yeah. And so when that happens, their prices typically drop because fantasy points are correlated with plate appearances. The number one thing. It's like there's nothing else even close for baseball. It just is the thing. Like, you just need plate appearances.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of a chicken or the egg problem there, right? Where like, your best hitters also tend to bat towards the top of the lineup. So it's not like if you put some insanely terrible guy batting third, he would have as many fantasy points as Bryce Harper, right? But yeah.
No, but his production would be correlated like with
correct.
How many times
it would be much better than if he batted ninth. That's right.
Yeah, exactly. So they've moved their lineup around so much, like they moved Turner to the sixth spot, then they moved him back up to two, then they've had Juan Soto down seven, and then they moved him up to cleanup, and then they've had Harper in the leadoff and moved him down to sixth or fifth. You know, so like all this moving around and the fact that some of these guys just have to take nights off because they have too many outfielders, then when that happens, you're going to get guys like Eaton coming cheap. Soto still coming pretty cheap. Turner, I mean, a shortstop with his skill set hitting second. And then you get Harper. Now, I'm kind of circling back to him now. Do you think that, like, are you comfortable at 4,300? Would you basically, like, if he was going to hit third for the rest of the season, would you just play him at these prices just basically almost every day? Like, are you still firmly on that there's nothing wrong with him, it's just bad luck?
Of course, there's definitely nothing wrong with him. I think that's totally insane to suggest that there's something wrong. It's just that would stem from a lack of understanding of math and how baseball works, or just wanting to find something to talk about. I think I would play him. I wouldn't play him against, like, Chris Sale or, like, some, you know, bludgeoning lefty or something like that, but against just average or better matchups, definitely every single night, sight unseen. I think the other guys are kind of an interesting question. I think Eaton's one. Like, he's 3,200 on FanDuel right now. The guy just batted leadoff in the last game he played, right? So if he's going to bat leadoff again against Dan Straley, we haven't even talked about how bad this guy is. And again, we're not getting a league average matchup here, right? So Straley this season, he's got a 4.82 xFIP, which sounds pretty high. You know, that would be among the worst in the league if he can figure out a way to qualify at starting pitcher by the end of the season, which again is very difficult when you are that bad. But we often talk about how challenging it is to just get this many innings in the majors when you have such a bad underlying skill set, but this is nothing new for Straley. So 4.7 xFIP last year, 5 xFIP the year before that, 4.85 the year before that. Like, this guy's been a bad pitcher since the moment he arrived in the majors, essentially, and nothing has really changed. So I just like the Nationals from top to bottom here. Straley walking more guys now than ever. 4.4 walks per nine means that the floor is going to be a lot higher on these guys as well, again, especially patient hitters like Harper. So yeah, from top to bottom, I'm going to play as many Nationals as I can. Also, because since they are mid-range, based on their lineup juggling, we can get them at pretty affordable prices, which allows us to not have to go all eighth hitters at our other slots.
Yep. Only one note of concern, because I don't know if someone will bring this up. The one area of concern I would say for Harper is that the aforementioned hard contact rate has dropped every month since May. So May was his highest, then it really kind of fell off a cliff in June, and we're not too far into July to make any great judgments about it. I know, but it is down. It is still on that downward trend. So I don't know if someone will ever point to that. So, look, is there a reason for concern? Maybe. He's still, to me, Bryce Harper, a guy coming off like a 1,000 OPS season in his age 25 year. I'm not worried about it. I think they're the clear cash game stack on really both sites, although DraftKings has still done a better job of pricing them because they're still a little expensive. Turner and Soto are kind of creeping up toward 5,000. Harper's a little bit more. Anyone? Who else after that? You said, you know, you mentioned mixing and matching. Are there guys that are standing out to you like that, or I don't know if you want to highlight another team?
Yeah, so I'm actually going to slide in the direction of highlighting other teams. This is mostly for your big tournament purposes. If you don't decide to pay up at pitching for whatever reason, because there's some really choice spots to go after here. The Indians have a batting practice pitcher named Paul Blackburn pitching against them today. Blackburn this season, the guy just can't even stay out there for five innings to start. 23 innings pitched in five games, 6 Ks per 9, coming off last year's performance where he had 3.4 Ks per 9. And less than 2 walks per 9 just basically means there's going to be a lot of contact. And against Paul Blackburn, contact is good because contact tends to be pretty hard as well. 6.46 ERA this season. The guy just can't even stay on the field. I think the Indians, you know, they're a little bit more expensive. You're going to get bigger names there. You're going to wind up paying up for it. But in terms of implied run totals, I feel like sometimes people don't think of them in the same class as teams like the Yankees, but they can put numbers up in a hurry too. So I really like them against Paul Blackburn. If you can, like, if you go down on FanDuel, say to like Freddie Peralta, I think the Indians become very, very attractive.
Yep, I'm totally with you on that. He does have a decent ground ball rate, but sometimes that's the only way you can even come close to surviving.
Well, that's why he's out there, right? Because he can generate ground balls, but there's still a lot of contact to go around. So,
this is what makes the Nationals so, just to circle back, and I'm going to throw out some other kind of one-off guys, but this is what makes the Nationals so attractive is that they have one of the highest implied run lines, and their prices just across the board are all lower than where the Indians are. So I think you're just in one of those situations. Just a couple one-off guys I want to just highlight because I think that's going to be sort of the key. FanDuel continues to have this issue with their algorithm where if a guy, especially like a middling guy, sits out for long periods of time, he just comes back at the minimum. That's Steve Souza right now. He's should hit fifth in the lineup against the lefty Lucchese, who does have some strikeout stuff, and still Souza at $2,000 is just, to me, a near must play, especially on a night where you have Sale. Alan Hansen's another guy. He should be hitting leadoff for the Giants tonight. Has a lot of speed at 2,200 at second base. Those two guys almost alone. And then Tim Beckham, who sucks. I think it's so funny. The Orioles, they're playing a game of Raz this season. When you look at their numbers, it's like there's some kind of locker room bet about who can be the, I was going to say the F word, like, so who can be the worst guy like in the history of the major leagues. And they just can't. So they keep switching their leadoff hitter around. Because every single guy sucks so hard, they just can't. They're like, well, and now they're just like in this revolving game of suck. Now it's Tim Beckham. This guy sucks too. Jonathan Scope, he sucks. Chris Davis, he hit leadoff for a while. He sucks. Mancini sucked. Every single guy except for Machado and sort of Adam Jones stink. So they're all coming so cheap. Sure. I mean, do you have any like feelings about the Orioles here? Because these are all guys that have sort of hit in the past. And some have done more than hit. Like Scope has had like a 900 OPS last year, and he's been in and off the disabled list. We can every night get the Baltimore Orioles pretty cheap. I mean, are they still a team that you would feel okay rostering, knowing that they've been so bad, but they're all kind of coming near the minimums? The matchup is like just okay, not great.
Yeah, I'm not trying to stack them for cash game purposes, I don't think. Like, if you take one or two, I think you're probably doing okay. But if you go too much higher than that, you could find yourself feeling a little bit uncomfortable, I would imagine. While we're on the subject of the Orioles, I just want to get your take on Dylan Bundy, because I feel like this has been a recurring theme throughout the podcast all season long, where we look at these money lines. So like right now, Bundy, the game has a 9 total and the Orioles are plus 128. Bundy's been just kind of awesome this season. Yeah. He's got 10 Ks per 9, 2.7 walks per 9. Why does he keep getting these like crazy implied totals against him? Because it's basically been wrong every start this season. So can you pin this down for me?
I wondered this last night because we had some Twins guys. Could we do model a little bit off Vegas lines? And we had some Twin guys coming up kind of high in the points per dollar range. And I was like, against a guy with a 10, 11 Ks per nine, he had one obviously historically bad game where he went 0 innings and allowed 7 runs.
But his line is still good. Like, if you take away the 7, you can't take away the whole thing. But my goodness, the line is still excellent. And if you take that away, he's like in a Cy Young discussion, basically.
Yeah, I know. This is the part where, like, if you're in this, I'm with you, because if you're into sports betting and betting baseball can be is tough, because there's so many factors that go into it.
You just need a steady ass hand is what you need. You need to.
Yeah. And you do need some hardcore analytics about, like, you know, about weather and all this other stuff to kind of like figure out where things are coming in, umpires. But I'm with you. This line seems way too high for a guy with, if you just stack up a guy with his peripherals against that are not named Dylan Bundy. Like, I wonder where the line would come in. Like, okay, so for instance, I had it up and I just closed it. I'm pretty sure Mike Foltynewicz has the exact same. Has basically the exact same peripherals as that he's, and actually no, Foltynewicz is actually worse. He's actually worse because he walks way more guys than Bundy. And the Brewers, I'm going to call them a comparable offense to the Twins, probably a little bit worse. He does get the pitcher slot, so that probably helps him. And they're a full, more than half a run lower implied runs in a better park. Like, so Milwaukee's a better park than Minnesota. I think, I mean, when you just look at those two things, do you think that's a good way to comp out the problem you're having, that's like where your eyes are going, this doesn't look right? Like, do you think comping based on those other factors would even prove the point more that the line for the Twins is just simply too high?
Yeah, I mean, it's tricky, right? Because it's, you know, there's park issues, there's American League, National League, you know, there's a lot of kind of things coming and going there. Actually, I mean, just on balance, like if you're projecting out for the rest of the season, I'll just take Bundy as well because he's got the prospect pedigree. And I don't know. I just kind of like Dylan Bundy. I think he's a good buy. I think he's a good buy for your season-long leagues. I think he's not a guy I'm interested at all in stacking against, too. So if I see Twins showing up in the optimal lineup, I will feel concerned tonight. So that's I would go against that stack, and I would go against Vegas here, too.
All right, we're going to get out of here. DailyFantasySportsRankings.com is the site. DFSR.com will get you that free 3-day trial. DFSR.com/MLB will get you the free 3-day trial of our projection system powered by our good friends over at Lineup Lab. Informs a lot of what we're talking about here on the podcast. Big Friday in baseball, a lot of decisions to be made. I think you can maybe even bet Dylan Bundy as an underdog if you're going to look into making some just random bets now that they're legal in some states, like my free state of New Jersey. Buddy, enjoy your weekend.
Live free or die.
Enjoy your week, and I'll talk to you again next week.
Peace.